Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego. It's time to buckle up for a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot-button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, let's get going. I am so excited to get into some really good conversations with my next guest. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Before we get started, I do want to express my gratitude to all of you who made this show such a fan favorite. And if you're new to the show, please join Raise Nation and our community of fearless fundraisers. We love to just connect with you this way and help build better tomorrows together, because after all, we are in this together. So somebody that's going to help us kind of, you know, connect a couple more dots is Jung Wong. I hope I said that right, because don't have quite the flair that I need. So Jung Wong, who is the CEO and co-founder of Civic Champs. I've done some homework, so this should be a very interesting conversation. I'm excited to see where it takes us, but hopefully we'll explore some new territory for the Raise Nation audience. So Jung, how'd I do with pronouncing your name? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, thanks for having me, Dawn. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to talk to you. I've done a little homework, so I'm looking forward to getting some of your perspective. Before we jump in, though, our audience would love to get to know you, and I'm not about reading bios. So if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself, let us know where Civic Champs started and what you do there. What is Civic Champs? And just whatever you'd like to share personally so our audience can feel a little more connected to you.
Of course, of course. Dawn, like you said, my name is Jung Wong, and I'm the CEO and co-founder here at Civic Champs. And so we're a software platform. We serve only 501c nonprofits here in the U.S. And basically what we do is we help them with volunteer management. So think of all the recruiting, engagement, retention issues that you might have with your volunteers. We try to make that whole process as smooth as possible, not only for the administrators, but also for the volunteers, right? And so we leverage technology like geofencing on our mobile app to make it really slick for people to check in and check out. We have ways for people to apply. We could do digital waivers, right? And we make it easy for you to communicate, engage, and even collect feedback from these volunteers. So that's sort of what we do. I think your other, you know, question you asked was, you know, how do we get started and sort of the inspiration a little bit here? And so in 2019, we launched Civic Champs, and there was a lot of reasons, right? This is my third tech startup, and fortunate. Yeah,
your third. Yeah, third. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so, but this time, you know, like many folks in the sector, I wanted to do something that had a bit more social impact, right? And my prior two, you know, one was a apartment search engine, another did social media management. But this time, you know, volunteer really spoke to me. And if you think back to 2019, you know, that's sort of when we had, you know, the beginning of like Black Lives Matters. It was also, you know, we were in, and maybe, you know, somewhat contentious, although I'm not sure it's been much better time in terms of, you know, politics. And I thought, you know, what's one thing that really brings communities together? And I think, you know, kept coming back to this idea around volunteerism. And so, you know, thought, you know, is there a way for us to encourage or support volunteerism in our communities? Not only because it's, you know, good for the soul, it's good for you, it's good for the, you know, the clients, of course, right? But also it was a way, you know, I thought that we could bring our communities back together.
Yeah, I agree. There's no better soup for the soul than just volunteering and feeling like you're connected to other like-minded individuals and knowing that you've contributed something to build a better tomorrow, to drive impact, to just do your part, you know, in the world and be selfless instead of selfish, right? So I'm all for it. And I think this conversation is especially timely because volunteer groups are definitely a good place to look for nonprofits to broaden their volunteer programming and activate volunteers who generally want to do more, maybe just don't know what to do or how to get involved. And I think that we are learning in the nonprofit space that activating those volunteer groups and going about it the right way can really drive impact to the organization. So what makes Civic Champs then unique in this particular space in comparison to like what might be out there, you know, already?
Sure. I think a couple things make us unique. So we're very easy to use. And I would say, you know, and we started, we actually started on mobile, which makes our mobile app a little bit more unique. And it's, you know, it's not just for volunteers, it's also for admins. And so, for example, an administrator can use our mobile app and check in volunteers on their behalf, right? They can see an upcoming roster of volunteers that are there. They can message them through the app to say, you know, a text or email urgently, you know, we have a snowstorm coming, please don't, you know, come in, or, you know, we're delayed by a couple hours. You know, you can see their contact info, things like that. So we just try to make that experience more streamlined, right? Obviously for the organization. I think the other piece of it is if you think about us as consumers, right? So we, you know, as we engage with you know, companies generally, if you think about like Uber, right, it makes so much easier for you to, like, you know, book a ride as opposed to previously where you had taxis.
Hail a taxi.
Right. Exactly. And so we, you know, we're sort of like consumerizing how volunteer engagement and management works. Right. And so that's sort of the experience we want to bring on the volunteer side. And if you think about one of the unique things that you see with consumer apps is everyone asks for feedback. And so, you know, when you have a ride, you know, or you're ordering food and ask you, did you have a good experience or not? And that's also something we bring to the table.
Mm.
And so, you know, right away, if your volunteers were happy, unhappy, why, you know, they have an opportunity to express themselves. And so it's little things like that that I think makes Civic Champs just a little bit different from what exists out there today.
Yeah, and that's a good point because donors are consumers, consumers are donors, volunteers are consumers, consumers are volunteers, right? They're all the same people. Their profile doesn't change just because they're donating or volunteering. And there is an expectation. Think of all the apps that we use every day, all day, you know, Starbucks, Target, Disney, Uber, Lyft, you know, I mean, we're an app friendly community, and it almost transcends any generation today. My mom is in her 80s and she's using apps. She's actually, you know, looking at her granddaughter live streamed on, you know, like there's an expectation there. And I think we have to meet that expectation. It sounds like that's exactly what Civic Champs is doing.
Yep. Yeah. And then I think you were sort of talking about activating volunteers, right? I think, and sort of that connection to them as a donor. And so, you know, we have integrations now with a number of donor CRMs like Little Green Light and Razor's Edge. But I think there's something really powerful there too, right? Where you can, you know, not only can you see the activities of your volunteers, but with Civic Champs as a development director, you actually know whether who is happy or not as well. And so certainly you wouldn't want to fundraise from folks that said like, hey, I had the worst experience in my life, right? Like, or I'm really unhappy or something bad. And so we allow you not to annoy those people, right? And also better target the folks that said, I was really inspired by your mission, right? Because I came and did this volunteering. And now, you know, volunteers inherently, you know, it's the biggest signal for affiliation, right? Or the intent to donate. But if you knew they were also super happy, right, and had a good experience, right, that just really further validates that person as somebody that might be, you know, pretty open to giving a financial gift.
Yeah. And, you know, nobody likes to hear the negative comment, but sometimes the negative comments are powerful in that you can course correct and fix maybe something. And you know, that's important for the future too. You know, yeah. I mean, if you have too many negative comments, I mean, we're all, everything is based on reviews and five stars today, right? My husband and I are looking for a new HVAC system. Of course we went to the five stars, you know, I'm not going to go call somebody up that's in three stars, you know? So I think that this whole, you know, consumer approach is really important because that's what we've adopted just in general life. So I love the approach that you're taking, and you've probably brought that approach to Civic Champs. If I can just brag on you for just a moment, I mean, your history is pretty serious, right? You worked from very large organizations, and lots of startups. I mean, three startups already. So let's talk about just your history there that makes you such an expert for Civic Champs. You worked for McKinsey and Company, is that right?
I did. Yep. Yeah. I spent 4 years at McKinsey. Largely consulting for, you know, Fortune 500 companies around a range of issues, but all, you know, always around strategy.
Yeah. Well, good history to, you know, reinvent the wheel here for volunteerism. You bring a lot with you. But let's just talk about the volunteering space. We've seen some decline there, which is not good news for nonprofits. So how do you think that they could overcome those challenges and, you know, rebuild that database? Because it can be powerful and impactful.
Yeah.
I'm sure Civic Champs is one way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, let's just elaborate on the decline and the rebuilding a little bit. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah. So the census is always so delayed, I would say, right? So, you know, that's, I think the last one we got was 2021 or something like that. And so what our internal data actually, and some of our partners like Volunteer Match have shown is that Volunteer actually is back above and beyond pre-pandemic level.
Good news. Okay.
Yeah. And if you could do a very simple thing, you go to Google Search Trends and just search, you know, volunteer opportunities around us. And you could just see the people that are looking for volunteering opportunities is higher than ever. Right. And I think that's part of the good news. And some of that probably has to do with the pandemic, right? As people reflected on, you know, what's important to us, right? There's a lot of folks that decided that, hey, you know, I want to have more impact in my life, right? Like this sort of like very jarring moment, right? Sort of reminded us of like what's really important. And that's great, right? You know, I think the really interesting thing for me though is that I think the decline in individual giving has not necessarily changed, right? And so that again highlights for me this really great opportunity, right? So you have this decline in individual giving, but this really increase in wish to volunteer, right? Is there a way for you to capitalize on that, engage them first as volunteers instead of first as donors, right? And say, hey, here's how actually I'm going to rebuild my pipeline of not just my volunteers and my capacity, but we know that, you know, from lots of studies, right, that say anywhere between 76 to 79% of donors or volunteer that they—
Wait, 76 to 79% of donors also volunteer? Is that what we're saying?
Yep.
Okay.
And so, do you have this pipeline of volunteers, right? You know, they're even if you don't do anything else differently, right? You're just going to grow that pipeline of potential donors as well. And of course, if you actually target them and talk to them and sort of like a specific campaign, right? You're going to increase the effectiveness, of course, right? And so, I think that's one way that folks can really counteract that decline in individual giving, right? Is if you think about, again, from psychology, if you're asking me for a gift or to do something, right, I have to feel an affinity for you, right? I need to believe in the mission. And the best way for me to see that in action probably is for me to volunteer, right? And so now you have folks that say, oh, yep, I've been there. I believe in it. And I actually gave my time. It was really precious, right? And so my willingness, and that's why I think why right? You know, voluntary is that such a big signal for the willingness to give. Right?
You know, that's an interesting concept because there's some controversy about the decline in giving, right? We're feeling that and believing that, but there's also the thought process that it's not so much a decline in giving. It's more of a who and when am I giving to? I'm a little bit more discerning in my giving where, and I see it in my own household. I see my dad, God love him. He is a very generous person, but he really gives blindly, right? He has his, you know, top charities that he gives to, and he writes out his check a couple times a year. And I don't even know that he knows why. I don't know that he knows the story, the history, the impact, the programming. It's just, you know, blind giving. Now, my daughter, she's young, so she doesn't have the same pockets that my dad might have. But she doesn't part with her money so easily. Like, she's very, well, I need to look into the mission. Where did they get started? What is their impact? Asks a lot more questions before she gives up her dollar. So there is like that little controversy, but either way, I like this idea of connecting donors to volunteers and volunteers to donors, because that's what you're doing. You're driving that deeper connection to let somebody experience the mission firsthand, almost test drive it, if you will, and get that deeper connection to convert into donors, because really it is a gift, whether you're giving a dollar or whether you're giving time, time is money too. And it's probably the best gift that you can give. So really all the way around, whatever is going on in the landscape of giving, you're definitely making those connections by connecting the dots between donations and volunteers. Did that make sense to you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that, you know, and that's why we're super excited about some of these partnerships, right, with the donor platforms.
Yeah.
We'll continue to do more and more of them, right? Because I think there is so much power. And even with your existing donors, right, get them to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we looked at, you know, we had a webinar we did with our friends at Little Green Light, and they just did, you know, it was an all-encompassing study, right? But they showed the median gift, right, from their volunteers in the platform was double that did not volunteer, right? And that kind of makes sense, right? Even as an existing donor, if I'm volunteering, I get to know you more. I feel even more, passionate about your mission. And so I think there's some, you know, like a way to grow your donations with your existing base even, right? Just get them to volunteer.
Yeah. Yeah, we're totally saying the same thing. So take us through the Civic Champs dashboard, or like what does it look like day to day for a nonprofit to leverage your software and to use it in their operations? Like what does that look like? I need a visual. Can you describe that for me?
Sure. I think this varies, right? By the organization. So we serve, you know, everyone from conservation groups to animal shelters to habitats to, you know, mentoring organizations. And so everyone's volunteering programs can be a little bit different and your process is a little different. So this is kind of we'll call it a generic version of this, right?
Okay, fair enough.
But you can, you know, with Civic Champs, we have applications, for example. So you can imagine on your website, there's a link to apply. And there's, you know, when you open the link, it's, you know, just a standard form and you can fill out all your information. So you apply to be a volunteer. On the back end, you can see, you know, on the Civic Champs dashboard, folks' answers to those questions and whether you want to approve or not approve them. In the process, we collect digital waivers. We track when they expire so that when they, you know, it's a year from now, we'll automatically prompt those volunteers to re-sign those waivers to keep you in compliance. And then once you have your volunteers, right, the next stage is, you know, how do I get folks scheduled onto my calendar, so to speak, right? And so a couple different ways. So you can embed our calendar, right? You can imagine a calendar on the website. It has all the different events listed. People can click in and sign up for them. On the flip side, we have our mobile app, very similar, right? They can, you know, look through your list of events that you have, select the ones that they want, you know, sign up for them. And as an admin, you know, some of the things that, you know, you can do that's a little bit more powerful is say, yeah, like who gets to sign up for these events, right? Maybe it's a specific group, maybe it's a private event only for a corporation. And so there's some really rich functionality there as well. And then when you show up, right, this is where we got started, is just, you know, how do I track hours? How do I get them to sign in? And so, you know, we have a kiosk, right? People can find their name, you know, hit the check-in button, you know, they can sign their waivers on there. They can check out. We'll automatically check people out at the end of their shift if they forget, right? So just to add some automation features in there. And then on the mobile app, of course, right? So when someone shows up with Civic Champs on their phone, because we use geofencing and geolocation, it'll say, hey, Don, you must be here to volunteer for Habitat today. And you're like, yeah, that's right. I am. And that's it, right? It'll auto check you out at the end of the shift. And if you remember, though, when you do check out, it'll say, hey, Don, did you have a good experience? Would you like to leave this one day? And you can say, oh, it's the most inspiring. I loved it. Or, you know what? I stubbed my toe and and nobody cared, right? And so, you know, it was a sad face. But all of that data gets fed back to, you know, Civic Champs, and you can, you know, easily scan through and say, hey, oh, you know, here, I need to reach out to Don, or here's somebody that's really
check excited. On her toe.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Don, how's your toe? You know, are you okay? And, you know, the great thing is when we were consulting for big companies, there's this big idea around giving people a platform to share, to sort of get it off their chest. Because they're going to get it off their chest one way or the other. And either it's going to be on your little reflection form, or they're going to tell their friends.
Yeah.
And it's much better for them
to control it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can do, you know, you can reach back out. And sometimes your best supporters are the ones that didn't have a great experience initially, but you showed you cared, and then you turned them around. And they're like, oh my God, no one has ever done that for me.
Yeah.
No
gives you that opportunity. Sure. Wow, I love it. It's very, very, it's very unique. Do you have a success story for us? I mean, if you can't mention a particular organization, can you just give us a scenario? Like, what were they trying to accomplish? They used Civic Champs, and this was the outcome. Can you frame it up like that and think of?
Yeah, I'll pick one that we did a webinar with. So it's not like it's not public, right?
Great. Thank you.
So the client is Habitat Bowling Green in Kentucky.
Okay.
But they had a tornado go through their community. And so, you know, destroyed a number of homes, right? Caused a lot of damage. And they were already sort of facing a housing shortage, right? And that's that second part, maybe not super unique to that community, because, you know, we're facing that across the board. But they really stood up and said, hey, you know, we're going to take on this challenge of rebuilding all these homes in Kentucky. And then, and so their local affiliate, you know, previously, I think, was building, you know, one home a year or something like that. They said, you know, we're going to do 10 homes, right? We're going to 10x our sort of impact for the year. And we're going to do this thing called a build blitz. And they, it was like 10 homes in 10 weeks, but they were going to do sort of foundation to roof for all 10 homes in 1 week. Right? And so they had this big sprint. And so they had 200 volunteers a day come out for this. Right? And so they used Civic Champs to do all the recruiting and the scheduling and all that stuff. And on day one, of course, right, they had a thunderstorm in the morning, like day one, right? Like your big event. It's, you know, and Habitat, you're outdoors.
Yeah. Okay.
That.
I'm feeling the pain.
And so, but they used the platform, and they, you know, text and emailed everyone ahead of time, said, hey, you know, go grab some coffee, come back in 2 hours. The storm's going to, you know, roll by. And only two people showed up early, right? Out of 200.
So, wow.
I was like, oh, wow. You know, better than even I expected.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, you know, when people came in, they had they used our kiosk to check people in. They had only one staff member using the kiosk to check in 200 people, right? And it worked great. They were able to do that. Everyone got their waivers signed, you know, and it was just an awesome event. You know, it was very emotional. I actually got to go visit and see, you know, them put up, you know, some of the homes. And, you know, there's this great picture of, you know, the families watching their homes getting built, right? And you know, those are, you know, some of them were the families that got hit by the tornado, right? And so just a very powerful moment, you know, when you took to see that, right? And again, really bringing that community together. And so, they did all of this, by the way, where they went from, I think it was like 90 or 100 volunteers a year to like 1,000 volunteers for the year.
Wow, nice.
Without any staff increase.
Uh-huh, wow.
Right, and so I think we were a big part of that, right? Just to really give you the power to, you know, to manage so much more without having to feel like you're managing so much.
Yeah, so volunteers, I guess, acclimate to the app pretty easily, and in some cases don't even think that it's a maybe third party, think it's something that the nonprofit just has part of their website. Is it that seamless?
So I think, well, the app is called Civic Champ, so they do know, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but who pays attention to that sometimes, you know?
Right, you're using Facebook. You're using...
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we try to make it as seamless as possible, right? The calendars are embedded on the nonprofit's website, right? To really make it feel like it's integrated and it's part of that experience. And we're always making enhancements, right? We just introduced chats this year, which I'm really excited about. So you can actually
tell me about that. Yeah.
And so imagine like a big event like that Habitat build, and where you have a team of maybe 10 staff members, and you're everywhere, right? You're not really in shouting distance. Sometimes groups will have walkie talkies, which is great, but it's just another way to have a platform where you can actually share, updates, questions, things like that. You can add all of those volunteers for the day into a chat group too, to maintain, another way to maintain communications with them as well. And then for your core volunteers, right, that are your regulars, I think this is a great way to keep them engaged or give them another avenue to build community, right, outside of, when they're with you, so they can still, have you top of mind, if you will.
You know, it's interesting because I feel anecdotally that one of the number one complaints from volunteers is that they showed up and they just didn't know what to do or where to go. And maybe you communicated, right? Maybe you sent out the Word doc or the PDF file, but we don't sometimes read those things. I mean, I'm going to a conference this weekend and I've had all sorts of communication. But, and I'm probably going to figure it out when I show up. I hate to admit that. But I've been there. I grew up in event planning space, right? And I've been there where you need to, in real time, communicate with somebody that's on a different floor or a different building or not in earshot. And, the walkie-talkies are good. But, so this just is so handy. I mean, really lets volunteers know what to do, when to do in real time. Yeah. How to do it. And it takes all of that away. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, and you'll find that volunteers at some point will just answer before you do. Right. Because if somebody else knows the answer, a lot of times they feel like, obligated to also contribute. And so if someone has a question before a staff member gets to it, even they'll be like, oh yeah, no, parking is on the north side, blah, 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 blah. Here's how
somebody
I got
knows
it,
the answer. Right. Sure.
So, another sort of, let's call it, capacity increase, right? Leveraging the sort of community to help you with
and empowering leaders amongst your volunteer group, right? So, that's really cool. So, I also can see where this might be handy with maybe service hours. Is that a stretch or is that a fair statement? Like, if you're a high school student and specifically if you go to a religious school, where you might need to put in so many service hours. Does this help validate those service hours and streamline those processes?
So we focus on supporting the nonprofits themselves manage their own volunteers, right? And so for the service student, the relationship and where we can help is like, we make it easy for them to track those hours with that nonprofit. Right. And we make it easier for the nonprofit to share that data back to that student. We're less good about, if you're like if you're the school itself and you're trying to track your service students across 15, 20 different nonprofits, that's a little bit less of what we do because each one of those nonprofits is going to have their own processes and et cetera. Right. That said, you know, we serve some high schools and schools because they have mandatory parental volunteering, and that we're much better at because those are your volunteers and you're tracking their hours in terms of their engagement within the school environment. Right? And so we're very, we're a good fit for that, or like soccer clubs, swim clubs.
Yeah. I think I was talking about the former. I wasn't even thinking about, you know, the latter. Yeah. I was talking about, you know, the student that volunteers and then 3 days later or, you know, 5 weeks later, because, you know, the high school student might not be prioritizing this until somebody asked them, like, show me your hours. Well, then they go back to that nonprofit. Ooh, that nonprofit's like, wait, when did you volunteer? Yeah. You know, I mean, it just is
you
so helpful.
You can pull up their name and you can see, hey, here it is.
Let me
email it to the right person.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. So what's next for Civic Champs? Like what are you hoping? Or I mean, you can't tell me top secret information. I get that. But what's on the product roadmap? What's coming soon? And what do you envision like within the next 3 to 5 years for Civic Champs?
So a lot of, you know, what we are focusing on this year is doubling down on our strengths, really. And so thinking about, you know, that user experience, that user flow, how do we even make it even easier, even, you know, more seamless, you know? I think there's something to be said about, you know, highlighting your strengths versus, right, trying to shore up your weaknesses, right? And as much as you want to do on the ladder, sometimes you'll never get there, but you could really make your strengths shine. And so that's a little bit of, I think, where our focus is going to be this year. Part of that is we found a lot of value, again, with these integration partners. And so we're going to enhance our integrations a bit, but also look at new partners to integrate with in terms of donor CRMs that, you know, so we can support more nonprofits, right, in terms of their ability to easily get that data, right? Like one of the pain points is like, even if you had a volunteer platform and it was standalone, you know, it's like, oh, I need to download and then I need to upload.
Export and upload. And yeah, right, there goes the merry-go-round.
So a lot of folks say, well, okay, if we had a, you know, a real-time sync of that data, you know, how nice would that be? And so I could definitely see the value. And so we're going to work towards that as well.
Integration. Yeah. Centralized data is so important for the nonprofit. And so I'm a nonprofit, right? And
yeah,
I'm here in this episode. We're going to put a lot of this information in our show notes, how to get in touch with you, how to, you know, website, all that good stuff. Our audience knows that by now. You know, if they like what they hear, they can easily go to the page, get all the information that they want. So if that's okay with you, we'll get it all in the show notes. But if they're listening and they're, you know, working on their Peloton or at the gym right now or taking their kids to soccer and they're like, yeah, light bulb moment. This makes sense. I'm maybe not using Little Green Light, but, you know, I kind of want to get started with Civic Champs. What would you tell them that what's their first step? I mean, obviously contacting you, but is there anything that they need to do as a prelude to that, like in-house? Or do they just call you and you can get them up and running?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can always book a demo on our website. That's pretty straightforward. I would say, you know, we try to ask the question when we connect the first time, just to really understand your, like I said earlier, right? Everyone has slightly different processes. And so we want to tailor, you know, not just the sales experience, right? But really the product, you know, when you're onboarded to say, okay, well, maybe you don't need this feature, right? So we'll take it out so it doesn't clutter your view, right? Or, hey, you know, the best path for your onboarding, for your specific volunteers is, you know, A, B, or C, right? And so, you know, we'll try to take on a big part of that load from folks, which probably is a little unique and different, you know, for compared to some other folks where maybe it's a little bit more self-service.
Yeah. So nonprofits kind of face, you know, a lot of challenges. I'm hoping they're making volunteerism a priority because it's definitely a group that can be activated. But from you're an insider, but you were once an outsider looking in. So from both perspectives, What do you think makes the nonprofit sector a little bit unique? Like, what challenges do they have? And let's maybe air that out a little to see how we could help them overcome and get to a point where volunteerism is a priority.
Well, I'll start with the positive thing.
Always start with the positive.
The sector is so nice.
Aww.
Right. In any startup, right, as a founder, as a non-technical founder, especially, a big part of my job is to connect with our prospects and talk to them. And that means, early on, no one knows you. So you're essentially cold calling, right? You're meeting people cold. They don't know anything about you. So you're trying to tell them about an idea. You think you're excited, right? But in other sectors, right, people are perhaps a little bit more harsh, right? And they'll hang up on you and don't ever call me again, that almost never happens, which I appreciate, right?
Oh, nice.
They know, they'll be nice about it, which I think we can all do that, right? You don't have to be a jerk just because you don't want something, right? So that's the real positive. I think, things to work on specific to volunteerism is people, I get the sense that oftentimes we still treat our volunteers very differently from our donors.
Mm-hmm. Where you're going. Go ahead.
Yeah. And sort of not second class, but certainly not as valuable, right? And we don't give them the attention nor sort of the respect, right, that perhaps they deserve. And the interesting thing, right, is if you could probably Google this on Google News, right? Almost every week there's some story around some volunteer who came for 20 years and left a legacy gift of hundreds of thousands of dollars, right, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And totally unexpected, right?
Right, right.
But there's no reason why you couldn't make that more likely, right? Why just be randomly surprised?
Yes.
Why this? When in reality, we all know it happens, and it doesn't have to be hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? If someone leaves you a gift of $5,000, $10,000, that's still a huge, huge amount. And so I feel like there's this opportunity, right? Especially because, again, coming back to this idea that volunteerism or volunteering is that number one indicator for affinity or the motivation to give financially, right? Why not leverage that fact and really grow that pipeline through just better volunteer programs, right? I think if you invest properly, you are going to get a great ROI, even
sure.
not just in capacity and PR and all those other things, but I think financially you're going to get a very nice return too.
Yeah, I'm so glad you went there, and that's why I asked the question, because I know that it's the bandwidth, the resources is challenging for nonprofits. So to prioritize one more thing, but I do think it's a missed opportunity with volunteer groups, and to nurture them, cherish them, be grateful, and to seize every opportunity. Because, even just a great experience, let's say for someone who's retired or part of the senior class or more mature, they have family and friends that are caring for them. And there's that memory when maybe somebody passes, like, my mom was just so close to XYZ Foundation. In her legacy, I'm going to donate. Like, there's just so many opportunities. We're talking about a couple random ones, but there's enough random ones that it's worth the effort. So we're really glad that there's an organization like Civic Champs that recognizes this and is moving technology forward in a way that's going to help make those connections. So kudos to you. It's really, really great to see.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm super excited. You're going to have to come back a couple of times and tell us how it's going, what's new, all that good stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Fearless Fundraisers, I hope you light bulbs were going off. Maybe you have a different perspective about your volunteers. and maybe they should move up in the totem pole on the priority list. Civic Champs could help them. But that is about all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Raise Nation topic and your daily dose of fundraising inspiration. Please tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But in the meantime, like and follow all the episodes on Raise Nation Radio. We stream on 10 different channels. So we're bound to be on wherever your favorite podcast channel is. And if you're a fundraiser, we know you're doing amazing things. We know your stories are awe-inspiring. Come join us on Raise Nation Radio. We can talk about your cause and your mission and everything that you're doing. So hit me up, hello@onecause.com. I would like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out at onecause.com. And please be sure to visit the resource tab. There is a broad catalog of content. It's all free and you should find it very helpful. Huge shout out and thanks to my guests. This was such an interesting conversation from the CEO and founder of Civic Champs. I'm going to try it one more time with my American accent, Zhang Wang. How'd I do, Zhang? I really want to make sure I get that right.
No, it's good. It's good.
Okay, good. I'm trying there. I really enjoyed our conversation. It's fascinating. And thank you for helping us prioritize volunteer groups and activating them. But we ask all our guests, so I'm going to ask you as well. Any last words of inspiration?
Well, I guess just I'm inspired by all every day by the mission and sort of the passion of everyone I talk to. And so thank you to everyone that's listening for everything that you do. And you know, of course, it's National Volunteering Month. And so I would be remiss not to encourage everyone to go out there and to volunteer at your favorite organization. It's, you know, like I said, it's good for the soul. It's good for your community. And hopefully you'll have a great time as well.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for that. All right, everybody, get out there and volunteer. Thank you again so much, Zhang. We really appreciate it. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.